Hi, Eddie Faber from the University of Rhode Island. I'd like to acknowledge my collaborators on this. When we're talking about the use of biosolids, otherwise known as sewage sludge, as a soil amendment to help promote the establishment and the persistence of perennial grasses on the roadside. So, first, starting off, some background on the roadside environment. We've been talking a lot about here today about urban soils. The roadside, like most urban soils, is an anthropogenic soil. It is highly engineered with the goal of promoting water flow off of the road surface and then draining that water once it is off the surface so it's not building up, flooding, and doing damage to the roadside. The soil itself is coarse, it's gravelly, it's excessively well-drained, and it is low in organic material. Not very good conditions for the growth of perennial grasses. However, we still need vegetation on the roadside. It serves some critical roles. Specifically, things like erosion control and slope stabilization, nutrient and particle filtration, and aesthetics. We like it when our roadsides look nice. However, given the design of the roadway, it is most often annual species, annual grasses, and invasive species that do best and persist the best in this environment. While we want to promote perennial vegetation that commits a lot more energy towards root growth and year-round coverage. So, how do we address these challenges? First, I want to mention that a previous study has been done on this on the challenge of promoting perennial vegetation, and it was found that road salt, which had been thought to have been inhibiting the persistence of these grasses, was not an issue, and in fact, it was a lack of nutrients. In that same study, biosolid amendments were found to have been a promising source of fertilization. And biosolids themselves offer a few advantages, including being nutrient-rich, high in organic material. They are readily available and local, again, because this is sewage sludge. Most urban areas have a way of acquiring it. It's affordable, and it is truly a renewable resource. As long as we're here, we will have biosolids. So our research objectives, what we hope to accomplish through this, is that we want to determine if a single application of stabilized biosolids are effective at increasing the establishment and persistence of perennial grasses on the roadside. And if they are, if there is a type and application rate that is most effective in establishing a quality perennial turf stand. And if we do find an effective type and an effective rate, then we can make a recommendation to the Rhode Island Department of Transportation, hopefully having them amend their protocols to spec out biosolid amendments for use in future projects. So this could have a real and pretty fast impact if it works out. Our study is using seven different amendments, five stabilized biosolids and two compost. This is an important distinction, primarily because of the way the Rhode Island Department of Transportation, who is funding this study, currently specs out fertilizers such as biosolids and composts. Specifically, fertilizers are specced out for use at pounds of nitrogen per 1,000 square feet or kilograms of nitrogen per hectare, while composts are specced out as a percent of the overall soil mixture. How we apply these would be in the same way that the Rhode Island Department of Transportation might apply them. So we applied the biosolids at 1, 3, and 6 pounds of nitrogen per 1,000 square feet, or 48 kilograms, 144 kilograms, or 288 kilograms of nitrogen per hectare. And again, that is nitrogen that is available in the first year after application. and the composts were applied at the rates of 15, 30, and 45% of the overall of the first 6 inches of the soil mixture. This brings us to our research plots. Our research plots were located on a highway median in North Kingstown, Rhode Island. For a control, we used unamended plots. As I mentioned, the amendments were applied at three different rates for each amendment. We replicated each of these treatments, so a rate plus an amendment equaling a treatment, three times, while also replicating our controls three times for 66 total plots. After the initial incorporation of the amendments, the plots were all hydro-seeded with a park mix from the Rhode Island Department of Transportation, which includes three cool season perennial grasses, creeping red fescue, Kentucky bluegrass, and perennial ryegrass. Here you can take a look at the actual design layout. We use a randomized block design. Due to the nature of our plot, we had to split one of our blocks between two sides of the road. Otherwise, pretty standard. And again, here you can see our plot layout from the air. So again, we have the highway median, on-ramp, off-ramp, and our plots are located within the red boxes there. I will also note that there is a swale between our plot areas that was not otherwise fertilized or seeded. Sampling, we first sampled immediately after incorporation in September of 2012, and then we have sampled monthly over the growing seasons of 2013 and 2014. So we're still sampling in 2014. The results I am presenting today are from the samplings in 2012 and 2013. In addition to soil sampling and the chemical analysis of these soil samples, we are also conducting monthly visual turf ratings for each of the plots. This is critical since we want to have that ideal turf stand, not just an ideal chemical composition within the soil, that we want to be able to tell the Rhode Island Department of Transportation that this action will lead to the most ideal results. In our case, we are rating our plots on a 1 to 5 level. A score of 3 is seen as ideal. While 5 indicates peak vigor, plots that are overly vigorous, when cut, we will see that top picture there. Since we are not taking out any clippings and due to the irregular maintenance of the Department of Transportation, overly tall clippings that are left can shade out the vegetation below. So you can see we have a 1, 2, 3, and 4 example plots here. The 3 is seen as ideal, being adequate growth, adequate vigor, without being overly vigorous. And this brings us to our initial interpretations of our first year's results. This graph here illustrates the average quality ratings of the 5 biosolid products based on their application rates. We separated out analysis of the biosolids and of the composts. We've illustrated it in this particular manner since we did not find any significant differences in the average quality between the individual products applied at the same rate. However, we did find differences between the rates of application, so between the 1, 3, and 6 pounds of first-year available nitrogen. And not surprisingly, all 5 of the biosolids performed better in average quality than our control. I apologize for this. This red box here should be a little bit higher up, but between 2 and 4 there, that's generally what's considered our ideal range. And we'll also note that the three different rates sort of converged towards the end of the growing season. So differences that we saw initially started to average out and come together and sort of, and disappear towards the end of the growing season. So we'll see how that carries out into 2014. Here we see the two composts. They were significantly different from both each other and from the control. We credit these differences and these fluctuations likely due to the determination of the application rate not being based on available nitrogen and rather just how the Department of Transportation has spec'd out composts as a percent of the soil mix. It's made it a little bit difficult to compare our composts to our biosolids. However, it does highlight the issue of the current way composts are applied, especially as a fertilizer. Speaking of available nitrogen, we have comparison here of the average nitrate present in the soil that has been amended by biosolids based both on the rate and the type of amendment. Only one of the amendments, the WRB, anaerobically digested biosolid, produced significantly less nitrate on average than the other biosolid products, though all the products produced greater on average soil nitrate than the control. So again, not surprisingly, doing something was better than doing nothing. What we've also seen is in that 6 pounds of nitrogen per 1,000 square feet, a good deal of variability in the nitrate between the products, a good deal of variability within the products. Again, we'll see if that starts to even out in the 2014 samples. Taking a look at the compost amendments, we see a large difference between the two composts in the amount of nitrate available. Though again, they both produce greater on average nitrate than the control. As for pH and electrical conductivity, the takeaway from this is that even immediately after incorporation, our 2012 samples, when we tested these for pH and EC, the values that were returned were all within agronomic levels. So we didn't see anything that set off any sort of alarms. And by May of 2013, any sort of significant differences between the treatments really started to disappear. Again, all remained within agronomic levels. So any sort of fear that the addition of biosolids is going to send salts off the chart or, you know, throw pH into a dangerous direction, that does not seem to be a concern. In summary of our first year, we can determine, as I said, that the compost application rates should not be based on a percent of soil mix, but rather based on the percent or the pounds of nitrogen, kilograms of nitrogen available within the first year if they want to be used effectively. On top of that, we also saw that the 3 pounds of plant available nitrogen per 1,000 square feet appears to produce a desirable turf quality result across the variety of biosolid types. So regardless of what sort of biosolids, as long as we're applying at that 3 pound, 144 kilogram per hectare rate, it seems to be effective in neither undernourishing or overnourishing our perennial vegetation. Also, our initial interpretations have been that the application rate, so the pounds of nitrogen per 1,000 square feet, did not strictly correlate with soil nitrate levels, independent of the amendment type. We're going to go back and take a look at individual amendments and see if there is a correlation there, but across amendments, there's a great degree of variability. As the research continues, other things that we're going to be incorporating into our analysis include a cool season and warm season vegetation survey that we conducted. We're interested in seeing if there are relationships between the types of vegetation growing. Obviously, more than just the three-seeded species are present within our plots. If there are relationships between the species growing and the type and rate of amendment used, also helping us analyze things such as overall coverage and presence of desired species. Our 2014 data is going to be critical in determining persistence. Again, we know that we can seed grass in these plots, but if we can keep the desired species, especially these perennial species, persisting over multiple years is going to be critical. So that will really help us determine what is a successful amendment. And we'll also be taking a look into further relationships of the soil properties and the turf quality, taking a look at if the soil properties themselves increase things such as potential for leaching, our nitrate levels, if those are tied to other soil properties, things of that manner. Again, in our further chemical analysis, we're not just taking a look at nitrate, we're also looking at the production of ammonium. Yes, so we seem to have some promising first-year results, but again, our second year is going to be really a determination of what is successful. Again, thank you to those who have provided funding and assistance on this project, as well as those companies who have provided the biosolid amendments for our use. Happy to take any questions at this point. The C and N ratio of the compost. I have the C and N ratio. We analyzed. I think nitrogen came back, and the biosolid co-compost came back. I think at about 3.5%, while the yard waste compost I think came back at 1.75%. As in terms of percent nitrogen. I don't have the exact C-to-N ratio off the top of my head at this point. Oh, and sorry, and in terms of screening, I'm not sure what size they were screened to. With the biosolid co-compost, it's interesting because there's very fine particles in that, and at the same time, having worked with it in the past, other larger bits of chip in there, so there's a great degree of variability in particle size.
Does Rhode Island have any phosphorus rate limitations for such materials? And if so, did you measure, or are you planning on measuring soluble phosphorus and the potential for runoff?
We were initially looking to measure phosphorus. We've determined that the ability for these soils... We did put in... initially, after application, we put in capsules to measure phosphorus runoff. Those did not return, if I remember correctly, any excessively high levels. And given the texture of the soil, we don't think there's much capacity for it to hold on to much phosphorus. So what was initially flooding, and this is based on a single application. So if it ran off initially, I don't think we're expecting to have much more come available. Yes.
Do you also fill your control plots?
Yes.
Okay. And can you share what the native soil was when you started?
It's Rhode Island, so it's pretty acidic. I don't have that off the top of my head. I think it was somewhere in the fives. If you like, I can get you that number. Anybody else?
Thank you very much. So at this stage, I would like to thank all the speakers. I guess we have had quite a very interesting session. So I'm very happy with that. Thank you very much to the speakers and to all the audience. And, I wish you good work on the urban soils. So I guess that the urban area is a place where soil science has really a future. So thank you.